This is our third sermon in our series. We're entitling Legendary. We've been talking about the fact that God wants us to make our life count for Him. And as I was thinking about this, planning this series, I began to think about what some of you might think about this challenge of making your life legendary. And I was thinking that some of you might be thinking, you know what, I'm too young to do something legendary. And then some of you might be thinking, you know what, I'm too old to do something legendary. And others might think, I'm too busy to do something legendary. So let's talk about those things this morning. First of all, let's talk about this. People who say, I'm too young to do something legendary. I'm too young to really make my life count for God. I want us to look at some young people in the Bible who did some extraordinary things, not because they were exceptionally talented, but because they were committed to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, beginning at verse 41, we read, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1, says Josiah was 8 years old. Notice that, just 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. Here's a boy who became king of Judah when he was 8. Not because he was a child prodigy, not because he was politically astute, not because he, as a general, led the army into battle against somebody and won a great victory for Israel. He became king at the age of 8 because his dad died and he was next in line. But he became a great king. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 34:2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Now, David was not his biological father. David lived at least 400 years before Josiah, but he was in Josiah's lineage. And Josiah decided he was going to wholeheartedly follow God as David did. Now, Josiah's father was a man named Amon, and his grandfather was Manasseh. They were the two kings before Josiah. They reigned for a total of about 57 years, and they did all kind of evil in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that they were more evil than the people that God drove out of the promised land. They dabbled in witchcraft and sorcery. They consulted mediums. They built idols and altars to false gods. Manasseh even sacrificed one of his own sons on an altar. They put an idol in the temple. They reigned for 57 years between the two of them, and under their reign, Judah basically became a religious and a moral cesspool. Now, when Josiah was 16 years old, the Bible says he really began to seek God. He had heard Jeremiah preaching, and he knew about David. When he was 20 years old, he launched an offensive against the false religion in Judah. He tore down the altars to the false gods. He tore down the idols. He purified the lamb. He purified the temple. And as they were going through the temple, taking the altar out of the temple and the idols out of the temple, they found the book of law. It had been lost for years, for at least 57 years. No one had read it. It had been hid and lost in the temple, and they found it, and they brought this book of law to young Josiah at the age of 20, and he asked them to read it to him. And when he heard it read, he tore his clothes, and he repented, and he prayed. And he had a personal revival in his own life. He had never heard the word of the Lord like that before. But he didn't want to just have a personal, private revival. He wanted there to be a revival in the land. So he called all the leaders to come to the temple. And he and the leaders walked out. And he called all the people from the greatest to the from the least to the greatest. And he, as king, personally read the word of God to them. And the Bible says there was a great revival in the land, and that they commemorated the Passover in a way that they hadn't done in like 400 years. All because of this young king. 2 Kings 23 tells us this about Josiah. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Think of that young man, what he did was just legendary. A lot of young people in the Bible like that. A little boy named Samuel was raised by Eli, the priest in the temple. You remember the story of Samuel. His mother's name was Hannah. Hannah was barren. She prayed to God to give her a son, promised if God would give her a son, that she would give her son, dedicate her son to God. And God blessed her, gave her a son. And when Samuel was weaned, probably 2 to 4 years old, she took him to the temple, and he lived with Eli the priest in the service of God. And one night he's sleeping in his room, and he hears somebody calling him, and he thinks it's Eli the priest. And he runs across the temple, and he runs into Eli's room and says, you know, what do you want? And Eli said, I wasn't calling you. Go back to bed. He goes back to his room, goes to sleep. Again, he's awakened by the voice, and he runs back to Eli and says, what do you want? And Eli says, I wasn't calling you. Go back to your room. Again, he goes back. He falls asleep. And again, the third time, he hears a voice, and he runs to Eli. And Eli, the priest, finally realizes that God is calling him. He says, go back and listen. It's the voice of the Lord. He goes back, and again, the Lord appears to him and speaks to him, and he says, this little boy says, I am your servant. I am listening to you. In other words, here I am. I'm here to serve you. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Samuel was the one who bridged the gap between the book of Judges and the kings. He was the last judge. He was the first prophet. He would be the one who anointed the first king in Israel. Samuel had an incredible influence on Israel as a nation, and it all started at that moment when he was a little boy, when he heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Young people, please listen to me, and listen to the Lord, and obey him, and if you do, God will get you in that place where he needs you to be to do something great for him. But it all starts with saying, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. So many young people in the Bible did so many great things for God. Of course, we think of David and the three smooth stones and the sling and how he defeated Goliath. We remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the fiery furnace. You remember the story. These were three teenagers brought into Babylon into slavery. They were Daniel's friends. And because they were Daniel's friends, Daniel interpreted a dream for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He became an administrator in Babylon. And because these boys were his friends, they were given official positions too. And one day they find themselves standing out in the field with all these other officials and administrators. And they're looking at this 90-foot statue made of gold, 9 foot wide, 90 foot high. And they're told, when the music starts to play, you guys need to bow down before this statue. Nebuchadnezzar has commanded it. If you do not, you would be put to death in the furnace. But these three boys were Jewish. They were not allowed to bow down to an idol. They were following God. So they had to make a decision. Bow down or stand up for God. And you know the account. The three boys did not bow. Because they did not bow, Nebuchadnezzar became very angry. He heated the furnace hotter than ever was before, and he threw the boys in. But he looked in. There were not only three boys walking around in the furnace. There was a fourth like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar brought them out of that furnace, and he praised their God. In fact, he even made an edict that said no one in the land was allowed to speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Young people, so don't say you're too young to do something legendary for God, to make your life count for God. Some of the greatest victories for God in the Bible were brought about by the faith and the choices of young people. And there are times when young people do some legendary things and other people don't even know about it. But without their faith, without their actions, others were not able to do for God what they did. And when I think of that, I think of a boy in Acts chapter 23. And you might not even know he existed, but he's an important young man. He's Paul's sister's son. What would that make him? Paul's nephew. And Paul has been arrested. And the Jews were trying to kill him, so the guards put him in a barracks to protect him overnight. And the next morning, some of the Jews got together and they planned to kill Paul, and they had a plan where they would have Paul taken by the guards to the Sanhedrin. And on the way, there were 40 men who were going to attack and kill Paul. Well, this young boy heard about this. He went and told Paul about it. Paul told the guard that there's a young man who has something to say to you. This young man told the guard, then the young man went and told the commander, and the commander got 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen, and they took Paul to Caesarea, where he got in a boat to go to Rome. They safely protected him. 40 men had planned to attack the guards. There are probably normally only a few guards watching Paul, but now there were 470 and those 40 men weren't about to attack. Paul lived because of this young boy, because of his actions. Doesn't sound like anything great, but think about it. If he had not done that, maybe the book of Acts would end in chapter 23. Maybe Paul would have died. We would not have him standing before Felix or Festus or Agrippa in trial. We would not have him getting on the ship going to Rome, shipwrecked and God saving him. We would not have him in Rome in prison, preaching to the guards, preaching to people in Caesar's household. We would not have the book of Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians. We would not have the book of 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy or Titus. Now, of course, if the young man did not speak up, God might have somehow did something else to save Paul. But the fact is, the young man did speak up. He made his life count. I don't care how young you are. If you have decided to follow God, if you have committed your life to him, if you have decided to stand for him and with him day in and day out, you will do legendary things. You might not even realize it. Other people might not even realize it. But I'm telling you, your prayers, your actions, your testimony, your example will make a difference. And legendary things will be done because of you. So young people, make your life count for God. Don't make the excuse, I'm too young, because you're not too young. Now, some of you might be thinking, I'm too old. By the way, I found this list to how to know if you're getting old. I don't know if it's true. Maybe you've heard some of these, but I'll share some with you. You know you're getting old when you find the cereal box in the refrigerator. How many of you have done that? Any of you? When people call at 9 p.m. and they say, did I wake you? That's how you know you're getting old. When you get stopped by the police for driving too slow. When you wake up and you look like the picture on your driver's license. That's how you know you're getting old. When you start receiving those phone calls for the final expense insurance, you know you're getting old. And when you go to the store, you'll debate with yourself over what type of toilet bowl cleaner to buy. But you won't debate with yourself over what type of toilet paper to buy, because you know in your mind exactly what type you're going to buy. You know you're going to go old when you just sit down sometimes because you want to, and other times because you need to. But whenever you sit down and whenever you stand up, there's always a grunt. Now, I don't know if that list is very helpful in helping you determine if you're getting old or not. Maybe this will help you. Maybe this will depress you. I don't know. But if you are 65 to 74 years old, you don't have to raise your hands if you fall in that category. But if you are that age, 65 to 74, you are older than 93% of the people in the United States. When you walk down the street, 93% of the people, 93 people that walk past you out of every 100 are younger than you. Does that make you feel good? If you are 75 to 85, on the average, you are older than 95 out of 100 people in the United States, who live in the United States. If you are 86 to 94 years old, you are older than 98% of the people who live in the United States. And if you are older than 95, well, let's just say God has blessed you with a nice long life. Now, the question is, how old is too old to do something legendary? How old is too old to make your life count for God? Now, if you're older, you might be limited by some health issues that you didn't have when you were 20 or 30 or 40, but you might not be. But you have experience that other people don't have. You have wisdom that comes from those experiences. And you have probably more time on your hands than some younger people. You see, every age group has its advantages and its disadvantages. A lot of what you can do for God is simply about your willingness and about your attitude. I like the woman in the nursing home. She was 100 years old. They were having a party for her. Her family had come to the party. All the aides in the nursing home were there, and a news reporter was there. And the news reporter asked her, do you have any children? And she said, not yet. You have to appreciate her attitude, don't you? Who knows? Maybe she was thinking of Abraham and Sarah. You know, they had their first child when they were both over 90. But there are so many older people in the Bible who did legendary things for God. Moses wasn't called to lead the children of Israel out of bondage until he was 80. David was over 80 when he was governor of Babylon. You know, when David was thrown in the lion's den, we often see pictures and we think he was a young man at that time. Not a young man. He was 80 years old when he was thrown in the lion's den. Why was he thrown in the lion's den? Because he prayed. And you remember that story, that legendary story of Daniel in the lion's den, and that all come about because of prayer. I want to tell you, if you're a prayer warrior, no matter what your age is, you can do legendary things. Legendary things will happen because of your prayers. Joshua was 80 years old when he led the people across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. After they conquered the Promised Land and they possessed the Promised Land, as Joshua was getting ready to die, he is in his late 90s now. He stands up before the people and he speaks to them. And this is what he says. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. And then he says, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond on the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, at my household, we will serve the Lord. And that speech from this guy in his mid-90s caused the children of Israel to rally. He influenced millions of lives. And they said, no, we're not going to serve any false gods. We're going to serve God. And they served it because of Joshua's dedication and commitment and example. I don't care how old you are. If you faithfully serve God, you will influence other people to do the same. They will see the difference that Jesus makes in your life, and they'll want Jesus to be part of their lives. You are never too old to make your life count for God. So there are some people who say, maybe I'm too young, maybe I'm too old, but you know, then you have those people who say, I'm too busy. If you could just see my schedule, man, if you could just look at my calendar, I hardly have time to eat, let alone serve and volunteer and teach and lead and attend and pray and read or study the Bible. I would like to do those things. One day I hope to do those things, but right now I'm too busy. A while back I saw a little plaque on the wall. I don't remember where it was. Actually, it might have been in a Bob Evans restaurant. But the plaque said, if the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. The devil's always looking for opportunities to make you ineffective in your work for God, to keep you from making your life count for God. And one of the main ways he does that is to keep us busy and focused on things that are not really our first priority. Now listen, God wants you to work. God wants us to paint our houses. He wants us to go on vacations. He wants us to cut our grass. He wants us to visit our family and friends. He wants us to rest. He wants you to update your Facebook page. You know, he wants you to watch television. That's okay. And go into movies and playing golf and going to baseball games and football games. That's all fine. God wants us to enjoy the gifts that he has given us. But he wants us to get our priorities straight. He doesn't want us to use those gifts. He doesn't want us to use the things he's blessed us with as an excuse for not serving him. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Paul tells us in Ephesians, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. God wants us to be aware of the opportunities in our life to make our life count for him. He wants us to seize the moment. He wants us to make a difference. He wants us to influence other people for Christ. I'm not a big fan of country music. Some of you are. I'm not a big fan of country music, but I do love some of the song titles. Yeah, I don't know how they come up with them, but I really love some of them. And I found some. Maybe you've heard some of these titles before, but I like this one. If my nose is running money, honey, I blow it all for you. Man, that's a good one, isn't it? That has to make you feel special when you hear that. Here's one. I still miss you, baby, but my aim's getting better. Oh. And this one's good. I'm so miserable without you, it's like having you here. Now, that's an actual title of a song. Can you? It's actual. How about this one? This one's not near as creative as the last one. It just comes right to the point. You're the reason our kids are ugly. How about that? What a song title, huh? How about this one? If the phone don't ring, you'll know it's me. And my favorite one is this. Her teeth were stained, but her heart was pure. 2004, Tim McGraw wrote a song. It wasn't funny. In fact, it was one that made you think. It was called Live Like You Were Dying. The song came about from a conversation he had with his dad, Tug McGraw. He used to be a pitcher in major leagues. And Tug McGraw was dying of cancer. And in the song, Tim McGraw says, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. You know, when you don't have much time left, life tends to get pretty focused. And those things that are most important come to the forefront. Most of us think we have plenty of time, so we put off till tomorrow what we should be doing for God today. Paul says we should not do that. He says we need to make the most of every opportunity. We need to make most of those opportunities now, today, before it's too late. We need to influence our kids, our family, our friends, our co-workers. We need to lead them. We need to guide them. We need to instruct them in the will of God. So one day in eternity, we can share that eternity with them. Don't say you're too young. Don't say you're too old. Oh, please don't say you're too busy. Instead, make your life count. Make the most of every opportunity. If you're here this morning as a Christian, that's a challenge for you today. Make the most of every opportunity. Whatever age, make the most of every opportunity. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, today you have an opportunity. As we sing the invitation hymn, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward if you need to accept Christ. Today we can take your confession, and today we can baptize you into Christ. For the forgiveness of sins, the Bible says, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to stand and sing, and if you need to make that decision, won't you come forward? Let's stand together.